would you listen to this announcement? Can you ask if anyone has found a green class discussion notebook of Joyce Sullivan? She thinks she left it in the girls' restroom the other day. It was removed, evidently. And if you would happen to find this green class discussion notebook of Joyce Sullivan, would you please be sure to get it to her? Let's ask the Lord to guide us now. Our Father, we thank thee for the command of the Lord Jesus. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest. And we ask that from this particular group thou wilt thrust forth laborers into thy harvest, even to the uttermost part of the earth. We ask, Lord, that during the Christmas holidays, nothing will take place in the life of anyone in this class that will sidetrack him or her from thy missionary plan. Oh, we realize how the devil is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We realize how he longs to sidetrack us from this missionary plan that we were studying about in chapel this morning. So we ask that thou wilt ground every one of us more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ during the coming Christmas holiday season. This is a great thing to ask, Lord, but thou art a great and mighty God. May there be no backsliding whatever on the part of the instructor of this class. May there be no backsliding whatever on the part of any member of this class during the Christmas holiday. May there be great joy and gladness, we pray, as we go forward in Christ and as the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus flows forth through us. To that end, wilt thou use our closing class periods? We pray especially that as we come to this wonderful book of Numbers, thou wilt ground us in its basic message. We claim all the will of God for our period now in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On page 83, we have our closing bibliography principle. Seek to become familiar with the books which will aid in your study of Leviticus. And seek to become familiar with the principles which will help in your choice of the right books and in the most effective use of the books which you read. Let me mention one principle of reading which I find in Leviticus. And the principle is, be sure that your books on holiness are Christ-centered and not holiness-centered. Be sure that your books on holiness are Christ-centered and not holiness-centered. I've emphasized earlier, what's the difference between the false view of holiness and the true view of holiness? The difference is that the false view of holiness is holiness-centered, and the true view of holiness is Christ-centered. With that in mind, I'd like to recommend the writings of three men of God, among others, who are great writers on the holy life. And the reason I'm mentioning them is they're a wonderful illustration of writers that are Christ-centered rather than holiness-centered. One of them is F.B. Meyer. I think F.B. Meyer is one of the most Christ-centered of all the writers on the holy life. And I think I could come as close to giving unqualified approval to F.B. Meyer's writings as you could to the writings of any human being. The second is Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray is the great man of God who wrote the famous devotional commentary on Hebrews called The Holiest of All. He's the one who founded the South Africa General Mission, the one that today is called the Africa Evangelical Fellowship, you know, the one with which Mr. Peter Letchford has been connected for some years. And Andrew Murray is a wonderful writer on the devotional life. You'll find some of his books that are published by the Moody Press in this inexpensive paper-bound edition. You've got some great Christian classics that the Moody Press has published. One of them is Andrew Murray's book, Absolute Surrender. It's a wonderful book on the Christian life. You'll be interested to know that that book, Absolute Surrender, by Andrew Murray, was a turning point in my mother's life. And it's been a great blessing in my own Christian experience as well. Then the third writer is James H. McConkie, M-C, capital C-O-N-K-E-Y. You'll be interested to know that you can secure the writings of James H. McConkie free of charge. I'll give you the address if you're interested in it. It's the Silver Publishing Society. Just S-I-L-V-E-R, Silver Publishing Society in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the building in Pittsburgh is evidently a very famous building. Everybody knows it. Is the Bessemer Building in Pittsburgh, B-E-S-S-E-M-E-R. I used to give an exact number to that, but my understanding is they've changed from one room to another and the numbering is different, but I don't think you'd have any trouble having that go through. Bessemer Building, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, he wrote some little booklets. They are anywhere from 50 to 100 pages. Paperbound. He had one on prayer that's very good. Another one called The Threefold Secret of the Holy Spirit. Now that Threefold Secret of the Holy Spirit, the Sunday School Times some years ago said it regarded as one of the greatest things ever written on the Christian life. Threefold Secret of the Holy Spirit. He had another one, The Surrendered Life. And then he had a lot of these just little pamphlets, 5 or 10 pages. Like Holy Ground and the Fifth Sparrow and some of those. But James H. McConkie, I very highly recommend as a wonderful writer on the holy life, but one who is Christ-centered rather than holiness-centered. We come now to books which are helpful in the study of Leviticus. And for the book down at the bottom of page 83, I want to quote from number 8. On page 42, don't try to look back to that one. It's number 8 on page 42, this work of Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. I think it's undoubtedly one of his greatest works. It's called Living Messages of the Books of the Bible. In the copy that I have, he has one volume on the Old Testament and one on the New Testament. My understanding is that today, the thing is combined in one volume, but it's Living Messages of the Books of the Bible, and it really is a masterpiece. And you'll find some of those things will grip you more than others, and often you have to wait until you kind of get up to some of that. But the more I go back over some of the things he has on those Living Messages of the Books of the Bible, the more I'm gripped by them. Now let me give you this quotation from Leviticus in that particular work. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan summarizes Leviticus in this simple statement. He says that Leviticus says three great things about sin and three great things about redemption. Now, before I give you those three great things about sin, he records, and three great things about redemption, I'd like to remind you that one value of Dr. Campbell Morgan's writings is that he's a wonderful summary writer. He puts all the eggs in one basket. He just gives you a bird's eye view of the whole thing, and then he takes the details in relation to the whole. Here are the three great things, he says, that Leviticus emphasizes about sin. The first is that sin is unlikeness to God. Why is sin such a terrible thing? It's unlikeness to God. Now, you know what the word godliness means. Our English word godliness is the shortened form of godlikeness. To be godly means to be godlike. What is ungodliness? Ungodliness is ungodlikeness. And that's the first thing Leviticus says about sin, that it's unlikeness to God. The second thing is that sin is distant from God. You know how we had emphasis on the separating power of sin in the book of Leviticus. Sin separates from man and sin separates from God. Sin is distance from God. And then the third thing is that sin is wrong done to God. Oh, students, you just can't overemphasize that particular description of sin. That sin is wrong done to God. To make it practical, let me give you this emphasis. When I'm really convicted of sin in connection with a human being, the main thing that makes me feel so bad is not that I've wronged that human being. That's included, but it's the superstructure. The main thing is it just kills me that I've hurt God. Sin is wrong done to God. And that's one way to check whether repentance is genuine or not genuine. Say, for instance, here's a man who's been a drunkard, and then he claims to repent and accept Christ as his Savior. And oh, he just says, it's terrible the way I've treated my family through my drunkenness. Just terrible the way I've treated my family. If that's his real emphasis, then he hasn't really repented. Because sin is not primarily wrong done to man. Sin is primarily wrong done to God. Then Dr. Campbell Morgan says that Leviticus emphasizes three great things about redemption. The first thing is that redemption is founded upon righteousness. Redemption is founded upon righteousness. God does not save man at the expense of God's righteousness. God does not redeem me at the expense of his righteousness. But redemption is based upon righteousness. Of course, the book of Romans develops that in grace today, that God's salvation is based upon righteousness. The second is that redemption is only possible by blood. Redemption is only possible by blood. And then he adds this after a dash. Redemption is only possible by blood. That is, by light. Down. That is my life. He says the power of love. And why? Well, a time or two ago we emphasized Leviticus 17:11. The light is in the blood. The light is in the blood. And when we read that Jesus shed his blood, he means his life was poured out for sinners. Redemption is only possible by blood, that is, by life poured out. And then the third thing is that redemption is in order to holiness. Redemption is in order. If I do not have a desire for a holy life, I have no proof that I'm redeemed. If anybody has no desire for a holy life, he has no proof. I wonder if you see how those three simple statements about sin. Help me to get your knees practically speaking into the whole message of Leviticus. Again, I want to recommend Dr. Campbell Morgan's writing in Genesis. Especially upon Acts. Often considered his masterpiece. But these two are living texts of the Bible that I think you now get in one volume. Really wonderful. On page 84, we have books that deal with Leviticus in a more detailed way. The ones that I want to recommend to you in particular are 8, 9, and 10. Would you please mark them here on page 84? Number 8, Studies in the Mosaic Institute by W.G. Moorhead. Now, this is a classic in his wonderful summary. Tabernacle, priesthood of offering. Things are connected with it. Second is number 9, a commentary on Leviticus by Andrew A. Bonar. Andrew Bonar and Horace Bonar were great Scottish leaders. They were great Calvinists, of course, in their thinking, and yet very warm hearted Calvinists. The difference between cold-head Calvinism and warm-hearted Calvinism.
I think the person like Charles Wesley or John Wesley wouldn't find too much fault with a warm-hearted cowman like Andrew Bonar. And then the third is number 10, my fellow. Now, this is often described as Kellogg on Leviticus. And many people would say that the greatest single book ever written on Leviticus is Kellogg on Leviticus. I want to quote something from him. One thing that Kellogg emphasizes in his book on Leviticus is that Leviticus has a great bearing upon social questions. There are many social questions and economic questions in the world today. And Leviticus has great bearing upon these. This statement is fairly detailed. I think I'm going to give it to you verbatim. I'll repeat it several times. Wait it just a little bit and then come back and repeat it again. Here's the statement. He's talking about the laws of Leviticus, the legislation in Leviticus, and he says there, it is a legislation which with all impartiality. It is a legislation which with admirable impartiality. Legislation which with admirable impartiality, the poor man and the rich man equally imbued. A body of law which is strictly carried out. Impartiality. But Kellogg strongly recommends that modern lawmakers ought to spend much time in Leviticus. Can we agree on that? Because these great laws of economics are clearly revealed in a God-centered way in the book of Leviticus. On page 85, we begin our study of numbers with the indispensable principle.